Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful
is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful,
faithful,
faithful
is our God.
Is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful, is,
faithful
our
is our God.
Yes, He is. Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful,
is, our
faithful is
our
God. I'm reaping the harvest.
I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today.
For
I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today.
Faithful,
so faithful.
Everybody, for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. And as you know, every night or every Thursday night, we come at you with different topics with regards to the One World Government, New World Order, whatever you want to call it. And kind of actually hasn't been every Thursday because I've taken a few breaks. Please note that I am starting a new job, Miss. Been very hectic on Blog Talk. You know, I haven't been able to produce shows like I normally do, and I've been a little slowful lately. But just know that I really, really, really apologize for those of you that come looking for the show and oftentimes don't see it. It's not something I'm proud of, because I know y'all really is serious about knowing what's going on in our world and knowing from a prophetic standpoint what that means, how that affect you and yours. Some of y'all is just that mature. So tonight, hopefully, we will not let you down with a very enlightening show. My good friend, Joseph, you know, I've seen him have his brother on a lot. Normally he calls in, sometimes he calls in, and we get to chat, and then sometime I have him on as a guest. But it's been a while since I've had him on as a guest. But he got something brewing, as you know. And I don't really think I know a layman, a person that's not a professional person, getting paid, traveling around the world doing seminars, have a staff, have grants, or have somebody that's, I don't know nobody, a layman, a regular everyday person with the kind of knowledge that Brother Joseph has. Now, that don't mean I agree with every single thing he says, but which is healthy. You don't want everybody to agree with everything you say. But a lot of things he say is real. A lot of things he say is going on. And sometimes you have to just stop and just catch your breath, because it's really, really mind-boggling what is going on in our world. And I know some of y'all don't care. All you care about is just, you know, everyday living things you can see, taste, touch, and smell. Your children, your bills, your husband, your wife, your job, and the little things you own, and that's it. And I can't fault you, because there's a lot going on. And some people say ignorance is bliss. I don't believe that. But some of us want to know what's going on. You know, the Bible commands us to be aware of the times and what's going on in our world. And the main reason I think the Most High commands us to do this is so we won't be somewhere strengthening the hands of the very people that oppress us. We don't want to be in a position to where people are, you know, that we fund our own oppression. We don't want to be contributing and supporting our own oppression. And that's what's happening all around the world. Folks are oblivious to what's going on, and they are literally supporting, promoting, paying for their own oppression. They trust in the wicked ones. So tonight, we're going to talk about how we're going to share another powerful audio, and we'll stop it here and there and just kind of shed some light on it. But before I get too deep into that, let me just go ahead and say this, that we really thank those that is following this show. I know there's over 100, almost over 150 people that follow this show. And that may not be a big number to some people. When you got 100 people that's following you, that's pretty good. And I know that's not always 150 people. I understand that too. But still, that's quite a bit of people for our little time being on Blog Talk Radio. So, again, I do apologize for us not making certain shows lately, but like I said, I'm switching jobs, and my schedule is very hectic. It's almost a miracle that I'm on at all. So anyway, tonight, I'm going to let Brother Joseph introduce this gentleman, but it's going to be audio, and again, it's going to be one of those things that you'll hear with your ears, and you just don't know what to do with what you hear. You just, and let me just say this, this show is not for those that just want to have itching ears just to be hearing something. There's so many people running around, and they just want to hear something controversial, something where they can go talk about the white man, or somewhere they can go talk about the black man, or somewhere they can go talk about the government. You know, I hope y'all know that we are so many light years past that way of thinking. We are trying to establish the kingdom of the Most High. The Bible says that it is nigh, it's here, and the Most High is ruling in our hearts first and foremost. That's where it starts, and that filters through our life and through our decisions and through the things we own, His will just dominate the planet in those of us that claim to follow Him. This is His kingdom. It literally is something you can see. For instance, my friend, if you, the listener, listen to me right now, if you are one of those persons that are following the Most High with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? And you own different things. You own, maybe you got your own business, maybe you got your own this, that, and the other, and you have maybe a staff. Did you not know that your empire, so to speak, is a part of the kingdom because you are operating by kingdom principles if you are indeed following the Most High? Your business, your home, your car, your whatever, if you're following the Most High, is a part of his kingdom. It is a kingdom that you can see. So some people think we get real spooky with this, and they want to try to trivialize it to, oh, y'all always looking for some pie in the sky. This thing is very practical and in your face. And what a lot of people don't know is a lot of people we don't anticipate being part of the kingdom is a part of the kingdom. You know, a whole lot of believers in these churches think that a lot of folks that don't go to church have no part in the kingdom. They feel like it's all about them because they were this and they were that, and they come to church three times a week or whatever, and they go to this revival or they go to that revival, they give money or they would do whatever they do. They feel like they're the only ones. When in fact, anybody that the Most High have control of their life, everything they put their hands to do, everything they command has come under the kingdom. And so if you get all those people on one area, let's just say all those people came to one city, all of those like-minded people came to one city, and they ran that city according to their heart and according to that spirit that dominates their life, that city, whatever city, would house all of these obedient followers of the Most High. That city is nothing more than what's described in the Bible as the kingdom that's coming. In other words, they would turn around everything in that city. The water would be better eventually. Eventually, it would become self-sufficient. Eventually, the monies, the fundings, everything would be, there'll be no poverty. There'll be no lack. There'll be no, the environment won't be damaged. The water won't be damaged. People would, just the farmers won't have their pesticides and all this stuff we do. If we operate a city, if any group of believers, I'm just hypothetical speaking here, I'm trying to show you on a very small, tiny, tiny scale what the kingdom of the Most High look like. If any believers, true believers, the realest, the most serious, humblest, submissive that the plan has to offer, let's say took over a city and they begin to just really do things the Most High way, that city would represent the Most High just as much as would the New Jerusalem that is coming, that we believe is going to be set up in Israel. It's the same principles. It's the same Most High. He has the same will. His will ain't going to change. It's going to be the same principles toward debt, same principles towards children, the same principles toward the elders, the same principles towards money, the same principles towards poverty, same principles towards health, the same principles towards everything. And that's what this show is about. This show is simply spreading that mentality, the kingdom mentality, not pushing hate, not pushing race, a false, just the most craziest concept man has ever been engaged in, this concept talking about race, but just putting out truth. And this is what Brother Joseph and I have been trying to do. I know he has been trying in his life, and so have I in my life. Just simply trying to put out reality, what is really going on, and then what is the Most High doing behind the scenes? What is he doing behind the scenes? Because what he is doing, he is always in the spiritual realm. What is in the spiritual realm trickles down to the natural. And occasionally it might make CNN, NBC, ABC. Hardly ever it does, though. So we've got a little peek. The Most High have allowed us to meet certain people, certain soldiers out here like yourself, that share with us different things that's going on, and we're able to put it out on the airways where people can see what's going on in our world, and then they make the adjustments as the Spirit lead. So if you, having said that, let me just go ahead and just encourage everybody to please, again, follow the show. If you haven't, if you're not following the show, you can even get reminders sent to your cell phone, your email, reminding you when we're on. Please follow the show. And again, I apologize for those times I've missed because I am switching jobs. So please follow the show and let iron sharpen iron. Send us emails and links to anything that's going to be supportive of the things we're talking about or any other things you might want to send us. You can communicate with us by sending us email. The best way to communicate, and I also want to bring up this this website, is through our website. If you go to the front page, www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones, if you go there and look at the front page, you'll see a website. That website is www.5smoothstones.webs.com. Go there and register and just send us links. Let's talk back and forth. Let's just kind of keep each other up on different things. Y'all know what we talk about here, so just send me a little something here and there if you feel like it's something that we need, and we'll try to even play it on the show if possible, or share the information. So that's how iron sharpens iron. So anyway, I'm waiting on Brother Joseph to call. I'm going to let him really run with this, and I think this is him here. Let's just go ahead and see. Area code 804-289. Brother Joseph, is that you?
Yes, it is, Brother Sal. Peace.
Okay, well, peace to you, my brother. Well, we got people in the chat room and on the phone lines already. So what I want to do is I don't even want to waste any time. I've talked about the website, encouraging people to go there and follow the show. Follow the show first on Blog Talk and then go to the website and join the website. Send us emails, pictures, videos, audios to help strengthen what we share here. Some people out there got even a clearer picture of what we're trying to do. So communicate with us via that website. This is Brother Joseph. Many of y'all know him. He's been on the show several times, many times. And he haven't really co-hosted, though. He always call in. And today I told him just come on and join me and not be calling in like a stranger. So he's just going to share something, a video or audio, rather, that really been on his heart. So this is Joseph Isaiah. Man, do me one little favor, please. Brother, introduce yourself. Give us just at least a 3-minute intro. You got to understand, some people have never ever heard of you, even though you're on the show a whole lot, and they deserve to hear some kind of intro. Please.
Oh, brush up. You really be putting me on the spot. 3 minutes, man.
Yeah, well, just three little yard minutes. Now, you know your real intro takes about 30 minutes because, you know, your grandfather had a hand in what you are today, and you got to talk about the whole prison experience, how you went there and how you electrified those prisons and got made a name for yourself at both of those prisons you went to, and what happened while you was in prison, how these different high-ranking colonels sought you out and came to see you and found out about your information and your knowledge and tried to, I mean, man, you really, really, really got something to say. People want to hear that. That is very impressive. The type of people you run across and the journalists that sought you out, and this ain't no little fly-by-night guy. Colonels don't seek people out in prison unless they really, really, really got something to say. So I know you don't want to go all up into that real deep, and I'm not asking you to tonight, but just share with the people, you know, where you're getting this information from. Because when you start going, you're going to be sharing sources. They'll hear the sources, but Just tell them how you got started. It's 3 minutes. Just look at the clock. Give me at least 3 minutes, please.
Okay, yeah. Very humbly. It happened, you know, everything just happened very strangely for me, you know, and but it all started with my grandfather. You know, he was a World War II veteran. You know, he was over in Germany. He drove big trucks and jeeps and everything, and he learned some over that he brought back with him to the States, and he brought the experience of the New World Order back from Germany over here, and you know he came back and was saying that you know the next war gonna be over here on the United States soil. So this was back in the 40s, and you know a lot of people couldn't understand where he was coming from, and a lot of that stuff taken frustrated him, and it just really, really, really frustrated him. And so as I was coming, about 5 years old, just about 68, 69, you know, I experienced him, you know, how he used to get into himself, and you know, he looking at his grandkids and the kids and everything. And certain things would come back to him, and he would just start crying and everything. And them the things that I always remembered of him. So when I was in prison, I caught this interview on a shortwave radio program, and I just listened, and as I was listening, the things that was stressing him came into mind, and that what made me take this thing so serious. And it was this man Serge Maness, you know, he was on a radio program being interviewed, and from there, you know, I wrote Mr. Serge Maness. Serge Maness was a French Canadian investigative journalist who was getting leaks from the United Nations. Him and another journalist, but Serge Maness.
This is a gentleman that came to see you in prison and went through all of the protocol, didn't have to check in with the warden, came straight to you. Thought you out because he heard about the knowledge you were sharing of prison, right?
That's the French Canadian. You talking about Al Cuppet, who came down to Southampton Correctional Center. He came in the midst of a snowstorm, and I didn't have him on my visiting list, and I was on a maximum security prison, and he got through that, and the type of clearance he got, he could go anywhere in this country, you know. And he came in, he had a flight jacket on, and he had that badge, you know, that security clearance badge where he can go anywhere he want to, you know, in any facility, anywhere, you know. And he came in there, you know, and that was, you know, send shockwaves through my little brains, you know. I'm like, yeah, this man, everything really serious about this man, you know. And, you know, we sit down and we talked, and people was looking, you know, they was looking. And, you know, as I went in, after the visit hour was over, you know, guy was saying, like, Joe, was that dude, you know, was that the dude you was talking about? I'm like, yeah, that was the Fulbert Colonel, you know, that was him, you know. And so I told Mr. Cuppet, you know, about my grandfather and everything. And that was really, really connected us with that bond, you know.
Now, let me say this, because I know people are wondering, well, they could have been down there to investigate you, why you was in prison in the first place, blah, blah, blah. Let me say this.
First and foremost, nobody gonna come to see no prisoner in no snowstorm unless it's something serious. But they didn't come down there. They really, really, he was trying to recruit you for his cause to preach what some of the information he was trying to get out there. But he heard about you. You can correct me if I got this wrong. I think, and from what you've told me, I'm pretty sure you've told me that he was sharing things with you to see how much you knew and to also inform you of some other things that's going on. It's kind of like trying to recruit you, like, hey, you know what's really going on. So, look, let's stay in touch. And this is what he was trying to recruit you to help push what he had found out, right? I mean, if you get a colonel, this guy was a colonel, right?
Yeah, full bird colonel, yeah. He was a bird.
He come see you, come visit you in a prison. And, y'all, you know what I did when I first met Brother Joseph? I went online and looked at everything he said. I pulled up these different people because, I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know him. And just because he say something don't mean I'm gonna believe it. You know, I don't know him, he don't claim to have any credentials, so that's really a mark against him. And then he's been to prison. That was a big mark. So I had no reasons to believe this brother. But when I began to listen and go research Serge Maness and different people, I began to say, wow, whoa, this brother really is on to something. And I already knew about, you know, the One World Government, the New World Order, the World Health Organization, the World Bank. I already knew about this New World Order. I mean, it's serious. I mean, it's all throughout the Bible. If you're a student of the Bible and you really believe in that book, especially the book of Revelations, you know that there has to be a parallel government or another government that's underneath our government really running things. And you know that there is going to one day be a standoff between the kingdom of the Most High and this very powerful government that is going to be ruling the world. This ain't no make-believe. This ain't no fairy tale. This is real. And furthermore, the book of Revelations in Revelation 17 and 18 talks about how the Most High put it in nations. Put it in nations. He called them the ten horns. The ten horns in the book of Revelation. Brother Joseph, I want you to finish here in a second. The ten horns in the book of Revelations do represent these nations that the Bible says the Most High is going to put it in the heart of these nations to come against a nation, to pull this nation down, to make this nation naked. Now, I believe that this nation I'm speaking of is the United States of America. It calls her the whore, or Babylon. I believe with the characteristics of the United States and the power that this country has, you know, no other nation can wear that slipper like Cinderella, so to speak. No other nation has the characteristics of Revelation 17 and 18's whore like the United States of America. And I wish that this wasn't true. I hope that this is not true. But unfortunately, when I read my Bible, there is no other nation. No other nation can do the things that Babylon did and does for the nations of the world. So that's why we say the United States is Babylon. Brother Joseph, go ahead and get into what you're saying. Go ahead. I didn't mean to take up so much time, but I wanted to lay a foundation as to who you are and some of the things you share. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Brother Joseph, I hate to say I'm a nobody because I'm somebody to somebody, and we don't know who he is and what he is. All we know is he just gave us a 12-strain DNA, and the whole picture is so huge, and I'm just saying so humbly, you know, that, you know, I'm just a little pea in the pot, you know, and all of this knowledge where I gained, it's all by accident, and I didn't meant to be heading in this direction, and and I'm stressing my wife out. I'm just stressing everybody out that know me, and because they see the change. They see the change. And, you know, this thing just changed my life. You know, I don't know for the better or for the worse, you know. And But I love it, you know. And, you know, especially the knowledge of the Most High. And, you know, the Most High, you know, he's scientific as well as spiritual and other current, you know, categories. But he mainly scientifically inspired you too, you know. So, you know, all of this happened real humbly for me, you know, and that's the realm that I want to stay in, you know. But tonight I would like to share with y'all, with the family, a man named Dr. Bill Deagle. This is a man who's been there and done that. All of these underground military bases, he worked there. And he's like 55 years old now, and he was like a baby in the mix of all of this. And the man needs no introduction, but I always try to be careful in how I choose my words, because I don't like telling a person what they need. But tonight, I'm going to say humbly. Check this this audio that I'm going to cue up for the family. You're going to learn some things you never thought you how could I say it? The thing that you thought you knew, you don't know nothing until you heard this tonight. This man been there and he's done that. And I'm humbly saying that. And after you listen to him tomorrow sometime, Google him and listen to some other material of him, because it's like when he talk, everybody listening. Everybody on the scientific level knows him and takes him very, very seriously. And the information that he's going to share tonight going to be very, very helpful. Very helpful.
Now, hold on a second. Somebody actually have their hand up. Area code 440 231. Let's go ahead and see what they want to ask or comment they may have. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Peace.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So here's the way I'm looking at everything is going down right now, is that the door is open. You know, we all talk about the Masons and everything else and whatnot, and we're entering a time where the door is open. Nobody's going to tell us where to go and how to make our choices in this next level or whatever it's called. But yeah, man, it's all open now. You know, all the secrets or whatever you want to call it, and all the things that we're afraid of with the Masons and everybody else. It's the door is open, and we just gotta, I guess, find our own path. And I don't know how to deal with that, and I don't know how you are gonna deal with that. But I just want to let you know that the door is open to everybody right now. You don't have to become a Mason, or it's not anything like that. It's just, it's there. And,
let me ask you a question. I appreciate you calling the show. When you say the door is open, what exactly do you mean? I mean, are you saying it's free to, you can find out secrets? I mean, there's still secrets. There's still a lot of things we don't know, and the way we get things is we believe that the Most High touches on people's heart to either lead these organizations, and these people kind of do a, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like a purging. Like a lot of these high-ranking people, they'll create a website, a blind website, not where they can't be traceable to them, and they'll tell all, and they're out of it. They wash their hands from it. Sometimes they're murdered, and this is how we get information. Through soldiers that become bad soldiers that become good soldiers, people that
really do love humanity, and they find themselves in the middle of this one-world elite system, and they start just blowing the whistle. So from those whistles, we start, you know, connecting the strands, and we're able to see and understand. So it's still open. It's still not open. It's still very much a secret society.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you guys though, you know, I just graduated college. Obviously from my voicing, so I'm a little white boy, but it's all right. And but my job was in Alexandria, Virginia, which is like the Masonic. Yeah, it's like the Masonic temple of the world or whatever. And the weirdest stuff was happening to me when I was over there. Like, I would walk through a door, you know, from a room, and then all of a sudden I would be in another room. That's what I'm trying to say about, like, secrets and stuff. I don't know how this stuff works, but just living there, the strangest things were happening to me when I lived in Alexandria.
Georgia.
Like, I walk past a light post. Like, and this happened all the time. I would walk past the light post, and the light bulb would burn out. Or, and just other things. Like, so after living in Alexandria, Virginia for, like, 7 months, I was working out there. And so I walked into a shop, and I asked the guy, you know, what's going on? And, you know, he goes, yeah, I'm a Mason. And I told him what was going on. I was like, yeah, every time I walk past the light post, the light goes out. And about a couple days later or so, I went out to lunch, and he was at a table across from me, and he noticed me. He got up, and he came over to my table, and he goes, man, you're a pilot. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, you can see the different dimensions or whatever that are here in Washington, D.C. And I know this sounds strange, but, man, it was so real to me. You know, like, I would go into a bar, and I would be talking with people, and then I would come out, and I'd go into the bar, and it would be a whole different group of people. It was just the weirdest thing.
Let me say this again. And as far as the white boy thing, don't say that. I mean, if you call this show and you're serious, they put you on the scale.
I'm serious.
You don't know how we have much respect, so we don't play that white boy thing. But let me say this, because you are a scholar in your own way. I mean, you're studying, and like, it sounds very trivial when you say you walked by a lamp and the light went out. It sounds very small, very insignificant. Maybe you might be a little paranoid. Nobody really know who you are. You're just a voice on the phone line. They don't know. You graduated from college. Okay, that gives you points. But some people might think, okay, this guy's cuckoo. But let me just say this in your defense. When something is spiritual, oftentimes when you try to explain it, you sound crazy.
Yeah.
When something, if indeed it really is something going on, oftentimes people that explain things like what you're saying sounds crazy. Like you keep saying, man, this is weird. You're not really telling us everything. If we let you stay on this phone line, which we can't because Brother Joseph got to do his thing, but if we let you stay on this phone line a little longer, you may be able to say, oh, here's a good experience I had in this. And then once we hear that, we'll go, now he's talking. So we kind of caught you at an odd time, and I'm in your defense right now because I know people are thinking, this brother walked by lights. So what if all the lights went out? Now, if you walked by every light pole and it went out, that would be strange. But what I'm saying is I believe, I don't even know you, but I know that even if you are the most paranoid guy and nothing you say in whole water, I know somewhere somebody is having some experience very similar, and they're not lying because you're talking to one right now. I just quit telling people stuff because it makes you look crazy. So so I just quit telling stuff. I save the stories that are believable, and that's what I share on Blog Talk and all that. But if I told everything I experienced, everything I went through, half these people listening to me right now would just run off this phone line, would never tune in again because they would say you're crazy. And that's the way it is when you're dealing with powerful, elite people. That's the way it is when you're dealing with evil spirits. That's the way it is when you're dealing with angels. That's the way it is when you're dealing with spirituality. It's just something sometimes the brain can't wrap its mind around. Go ahead and finish your comment, then we're going to let Brother Joseph do his thing.
Okay, yeah. Well, just give me, like, 2 more minutes and I'll get off the line and you guys can talk. But, yeah, man, somebody finally explained it to me. All the buildings in D.C. are made out of this special, like, quartz stone and what this stone does. And I didn't believe my buddy until, you know, what we had in our apartment building in the middle, we had a water feature that was built out of the same stone that all of the buildings in D.C. was made out of. And he put a radio-controlled powerboat in the middle of the fountain. And whenever the antenna of the powerboat would hit a stone, it would, and I know this sounds crazy, but it would, like, the remote control would stop. And so that basically, he was trying to show me that in D.C., there is something, the way that D.C. is built and with the stones they used are all basically like a quartz crystal compound, and it absorbs frequencies, you know, like what TV or radio or whatever, all that sort of stuff. And so that's what I want to tell you guys. So there is something going on with D.C., and especially Alexandria, because you know, the Mason Monument is there, and that's all I wanted
Brother
to say.
Joseph,
I mean, I'm
Brother
not
Joseph,
trying to take over your show or anything.
No,
but it was
Brother Joseph,
very...
real quick, did you want to comment on some of this, what this brother's saying, any of what he's saying before you do your thing, before we let him go?
Yeah, I just want to ask what school he went to. Did he, you know, was it Georgetown?
No. Actually, I went to a little school actually out in Ohio that was built by the Rockefellers called Lake Erie College. And, yeah, I mean, there's really nothing special about the school. I mean, it's like, you know, it's an equestrian school. You know, the girls ride horses and we got, you know, whatever, the jockeys. Whatever, we teach people how to be, you know, horse people, but it's all, like, fancy stuff. Like, most of the kids that go there are millionaires. I was, like, one of the 1%, but the bad 1%. Not the one that everybody's talking about.
What's your name, caller?
Mike.
Mike, listen, Mike, appreciate you. Appreciate you sharing that. I want you to press 1 on your phone, if you don't mind, because it looked like your hand is still up. If you want to comment later on and we have time, we'll get back to you. But right now, press 1 on your phone. That way, your hand will go away. And then later on,
well,
if you have a question.
I'll just hang up. But I just want to tell you guys that there really is something going on. You know, because I've been watching your stuff, and you want to know about New World Order and top secrets and all that stuff. Well, yeah, it's true. The stones that were used to build Washington, D.C. are actually a crystal type of stone, and they absorb, like, signals. And I'm not being, like, crazy about this, but, like the way your radio works or the way your TV works, it... Anyways, so, all right. You gentlemen have a nice evening, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You're always welcome to call the show, man. Just I love when our white brothers and sisters not look at the show as something black and their show and those people's show, and calling in and contribute to information they have. It's always a good thing, you know, and I just do. I just think whatever the Most High is going to do, he's going to use more than just certain type of people. He's going to use all types of people. So I welcome any other ethnic group outside welcome our people for sure, but I welcome everybody, anybody that's serving the Most High and seeking truth for real. I don't care who you are. But anyway, Brother Joseph, do your thing. I'm anxious to hear this audio. So do your thing. I just wanted to let the brother know, you know, I always go a little bit extra for people that first-time callers. So do your thing, man.
Okay, so I got Bill Deagle. He was at the Granada Forum back in 2008, and the information back then is very relevant to today. I just wish and hope that the people there stay patient and get this knowledge, because he went in the house on this one here. Every time he do it big. So I'm going to get ready to cue it on up now.
All right.
All right.
We can't hear.
Welcome to the Granada Forum.
Cue it on up now.
The Granada Forum is an information resource center that provides an alternative media for America and the world to view their own opinions and to think their own mind. Tonight, on December 7th, 2006.
We can't hear.
The Granada Forum is an information resource center. We're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California, in America and the world.
Brother Joseph.
Tonight,
Brother Joseph,
on December 7th, 2000.
Brother Joseph.
Here. Brother.
Yeah.
You said you couldn't hear it.
No, we can't hear.
Dr. Wilson.
And it sounds like you got an echo going on. The same arrangement you had earlier when I heard the clip, you used to set everything up exactly the exact same way. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear.
Okay.
It's got to be the exact same arrangement. However distance you have the phone, and it has to be. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear.
Let me see how did I do this.
And I'm echoing for some reason. Why don't you stop it and start over again? And stop it and start over again, please.
All right, I'm coming now.
I'm going to bring you back in about 3 minutes, okay? So hopefully you have that together in about 3 minutes, all right? Because this echo, I think you're getting feedback from my phone. So let me give you about 3 minutes, okay?
Okay.
And this is Bill Deavers, right?
Bill Deagle. Deagle.
Turn it down.
I know what it was.
Somebody's saying it would probably work better if you turn.
I know what it was. I'm straight now. I got it now. I know what it was.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Welcome to the Granada Forum. The Granada Forum is an informational resource center that provides an alternative media for America and the world to view their own opinions and to think their own mind. Tonight, on December 7th, 2006, It's Pearl Harbor Day at the Granada Forum. We're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Can everyone hear me? Great. So let me bring in this wonderful guest so that you can see what I know. Dr. Deagle, Dr. William Deagle, is the founder of Nutra Medical since 1999. Dr. Deagle is a teacher of medicine, a student, and he proctored at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Dr. Deagle will be speaking on a variety of subjects, matters of national security, and the dangerous situations that are evolving in this country today. So without any further ado, let's give Dr. William Deagle a warm round of applause at the Granada Forum.
Thanks, everyone. I really want to thank everybody that came out tonight. As I say, everybody that's here is supposed to be here. However, many or few there are, I hope there are many that are going to be watching this on DVD and online, because some of the things I'm going to say tonight hopefully will not only inform but transform you, so that when you're finished the seminar tonight, there'll be things you'll hear tonight you've never heard in your whole life, even if you've been studying this area for a long time. What I'm going to do is it'll integrate. You always learn what you know that's related to things you previously knew. And some of those are not just physical things, because we are a spirit being, we know things in the intellectual realm, but we also know spirit words and spirit thoughts and realities. And those of us realize that the ultimate problems in our society are not a technical one, they're always spiritual. And that transcends religion. Religion is a substitute. So we're going to talk about four different talks tonight. And if I can get my PowerPoint behaving here, we are ready to view the show. Firstly, conspiracy realities of 9/11 to avian flu and beyond. And I'm going to deal with both fact, not conjecture. I try to give you both the forest and the trees view, so you'll see things tonight that you probably knew and things you didn't know. Some of it's going to be very shocking. People like myself, people like Eric Schein, who's also on RBN, he has a wonderful show on the weekend. And I don't think Eric made it tonight. Is Eric here? But Eric may be online. He lives here in California. We also have people like Stephen E. Jones, professor at the University of Utah, that actually presented information proving that Thermate was involved with the bombs in WTC, which, of course, cut up the building. It was not jet aircraft. And I want to show you information tonight that will prove that there's a lot more to this. And I'm going to bring you not just at the end of one maze, but I'm going to show you the matrix of all of the mazes, hopefully, tonight. As far as the rabbit trail will take you. So without ado, let's go on to the next slide. In 1995, I was working at Penrose St. Francis Hospital in Colorado Springs as an occupational doctor. And what they like to do is they had a habit of wanting to hire civilian doctors. I was a civilian, although I'd worked with the military many years in both Canada and the United States. I'm a dual citizen. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, licensed in three provinces. Is it cutting it off? Ooh, how's that doing that? I think maybe the slide projector can be moved just a bit. Well, yeah, I'm not sure if the... Oh, okay. All right, I'll continue, because you'll get all of the gist of this, and you'll be able to get the PowerPoints later. You can get them online. I worked at Penrose St. Francis Hospital, and we had... My boss, Major George Swinder, was supposed to actually do the exit exam on the Oklahoma City Forensic Munitions Team. They came back from the Murrah Building when it was exploded in 1995. And he was away, and I was the senior doctor. I'm going to be 55 this February. I've been in practice for almost 30 years. Practiced about everything you can imagine, from emergency department, intensive care, burn units, trauma units, ICUs in the middle of nowhere, 300 miles from everywhere you can imagine, in the middle of mountains to... military and nuclear medicine, and also handled the teams working on Operation Top Off and movement of our bioweapons, nuclear weapons, and also with facilities such as U.S. Space Command, Strategic Defense Command, Star Wars, Falcon Air Force Base, etc. And what happened is, in this time, one of the five gentlemen told me that he wanted me to do further evaluations of him because he had radiation exposure. And, of course, I was a chemist before I went into medicine and did marine bacteriology research. I was a charter member of Greenpeace back in the early 70s before I went into medicine. And I said, well, this was an ANFO bomb. It was a ammonium nitrate bomb. That couldn't cause radiation burns. He said, you don't understand. I said, look, unless you tell me the truth, I'm not going to do anything for you. You know, gruff old ER doc. And he said, after he broke down after about 15 minutes, he actually started to almost cry. He was pupils pinpoint, ashen white, scared to death. And this guy's a special op military munitions guy that works around things like, you know, high explosives. So obviously, that's not the kind of person that's a special op guy that gets scared easy. So he told me in great detail over the next 2 hours and 15 minutes how the Oklahoma City Murrah buildings were brought down by micro-nukes that were put in there, a U.S. Army Corps engineer, by FBI and ATF agents, and by thermite and other high explosives, including two micro-nukes they removed, and a C4 pineapple, another C4 that were placed on the inside pillars of the building. I filed that away, but 4.5 months later, his commanders at Fort Carson found out, and he got court-martialed. I've never heard from him again. God knows what happened to him. And when they found out, they hauled me into the conference room and tried to threaten me, and I said, you don't threaten me. I said, because they're in the process of trying to fire me. Those are they call a little rendition. I said, you're going to cut me a check for $35,000, letter of reference, and if you come within 500 miles of me or my family with any of your operatives, I said, I will or my buddies will take you out. And I met him. And so I got my check cut in within a half an hour, a letter of reference, and I left there, but I filed it away. I didn't talk to anybody until I brought the information on an Alex Jones show a few years ago. In my exposures, I have been in underground cities. I have worked for the Iridium Satellite Project. I've been on the doctor for U.S. Base Command, Strategic Defense, the Echelon Project, and the World Identification. And I've taken care of people that have been in the most classified facilities on the planet in Colorado. And Colorado has more classified material underground there and more computing power, quantum computing, than all the rest of the planet to get, put together by a very large order of magnitude. And most of these facilities are in underground cities. And I was in one of them, and it was very impressive. It's Schriever Air Force Base, east, 18 miles east of Colorado Springs. And the facility... the main facility building is actually underground about a quarter mile, and it was shielded in 2.5 inches of seamless stainless steel, ringed by an anti-missile system and scalar weapons, as well as a full tactical division of Star Wars weaponry. And they had a quantum array, and I physically walked through the quantum array. It's gallium arsenide Cray-5 computers. You may have heard that these other teraflop computers are the most powerful in the world, and they're liars. The most powerful computer was developed by Seymour Cray, who 11 months after his discovery, his systems went Section 11, I believe it is, Chapter 11. And he died on the I-25 freeway just north of Air Force Academy in one of these weird accidental deaths where a car crossed the freeway in complete bright, clean, black top and completely T-boned his car and crushed him and killed him instantly. So Seymour Cray had done the impossible. He'd actually, without zero gravity, created a gallium arsenide chip that had to be created at almost minus 200 degrees Kelvin in order to create this chip that allowed quantum computing. To give you an idea, the Cray-4 computer, Cray-5 can do the calculations in teraflops that's equivalent to 100,000 Cray-4s. Gives you an idea of just how powerful this is. And I'll show you tonight why quantum computing is part of the matrix they're building and why this is so important. When I walked through the array, they had hundreds and hundreds of Cray computers, all in a giant cube underground, connected by fiber optic high-speed networks. And they weren't just using regular, they were using ultraviolet fiber optics, which is much, much higher speed information transfer. Huge cables the size of your thumb, hundreds and hundreds of them connecting through this array. And if you knew the computing power, they are, and I was told this by my NSA contacts, because they had very high contacts, people that, literally on a need-to-know basis, the president does not have access to. So a lot of the people don't understand that most of the senior people in our Congress and Senate if they're watching this video, I'm going to tell them stuff that they don't know, even if they're on the Armed Services Committee. They will not know what I know. Part of the reason is I would exchange information and have a photographic memory with many of the people in different divisions of the military and intelligence, and they would freak out when I would tell them out of their highly compartmentalized area exactly what was going on in the next room or the next building or the next facility underground. The Echelon project is just the tip of the iceberg. They have had a database, not only of everybody's dial tone and identification data of every citizen in every westernized nation on the planet, but they have been doing this for well over 26 years, and that database is all ready to stick the chip in you and track you for your global identification. I was actually given a private audience for a gentleman back in 1998 who in 1995 had actually done a presentation to Lockheed Martin and Lucid Technologies, and have a 600-some-page copy of his patent application for the world identification. And he went over the details, and the people at Lockheed Martin and Lucid told him that his information was useful, but they'd all gone well beyond that, and he thought of a few good ideas that they'd incorporate. So they said, well, you're going to buy my patent or incorporate? No, we don't need you. So they've been doing this for a long time. The smart highways, the Iridium satellite system, the cell towers, all of these things are integrated into a system that is literally beyond your imagination. As far as you think any of these B-movies or technologies, it is orders of magnitude and ages beyond anything you can imagine. And it exists today already. All of this left is the implementation. So in 1999, I met with the people that we were doing our operational test for Operation Top Off and Dark Winter with Dr. Jay Reddington from the University of Colorado, Department of Infectious Disease at the VA, and the Center for Disease Control Director for the FBI, Director for Bioterrorism. And we were doing simulations. We did bioterrorism simulations at the Performing Arts Center in Denver, and also at the 17th Avenue. In the Performing Arts Center, we did a simulation where we pretended that it was a release of bubonic plague and tried to simulate if people would gather the correct information at the local hospitals to be able to back calculate when the release was and who would have been gotten sick, and knowing how long the incubation period, who would survive. Well, we failed miserably on that, and in a test in anthrax sprayed of the second floor window on 17th Avenue. We also did a simulation in Boulder, the supercomputer there, a National Weather Service supercomputer there, and found that we pretended on the supercomputer, we did a simulation of someone coming in from Cairo, Egypt, with injected with weaponized smallpox. And our computers predicted that 93 countries and 93 million Americans would be infected in 90 days. That, of course, is a computer simulation. There are lots of parameters that that would confound that reality. But nevertheless, they've been doing all these simulations. Well, on March 1 of 2001, a couple years after this, I met again at a bioterrorism conference with Dr. Reddington, the FBI and CDC directors, and the FBI director leaned across the table at lunch because we had a private lunch because I was one of the inner circle, and said to me in no certain terms that there will be a Pearl Harbor event. Interesting, it's Pearl Harbor Day today, December 7th, 2006. And this event will, with a 95% probability, bring about martial law in America and a national ID with an implantable chip. And he said all of those things, and he repeated them three times so that it would sink in. And I asked him questions for the next hour and a half, because he wouldn't tell me straight out exactly what simulations, because we talked about everything from jet aircraft going into buildings to micro-nukes in cities to bioterrorism release to things in the water to nanoweapons to all kinds of things. And one of the scenarios that was one of the top three or four was jet aircraft going into World Trade Center towers. So when you hear Condoleezza Rice lying and saying that they never thought of it, they told me that there were actually simulations of jet aircraft planned to go in at that time, later that year, probably in September, into the WTC towers. So when I was driving my children, because I lived in South Colorado, Denver, in Hounds Ranch, driving them to the charter school 1 mile from Columbine, I was enraged and the rage isn't even a strong enough word to understand that they actually took those towers down, and I knew that they did it. Because I have a, you know, advanced training in technology. I was supposed to go to nuclear physics at MIT, and I went into honors biochemistry and completed my PhD research project in 5 months at age 20. I didn't write my thesis because I went into medicine, so I'm not exactly stupid. And when these people did this, I knew that they had not only struck a dagger into the hearts of Americans, but they killed people in 82 nations. And this is the sentinel event of our century, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, because we're actually approaching a thing called the Nexus, which I'm going to talk in my fourth talk about. When we have whistleblowers like Stephen Jones, with his thermites and his very solid science proving it, and Dr. Ward, who spoke on my radio show a few months ago, is a medical doctor who's retired about 9 years, who did a very reasoned analysis proving that there were micro-nukes in the building, cars and other vehicles were melted on one side and not the other, particleization of two-thirds of the total mass of the World Trade Center towers that were turned to nanoparticles. The only thing that could have done that was nukes. There is no other conclusion. It's not something that's open to discussion or anything else, because even high explosives couldn't have done what was found there. And there were reports, not only by the Pentagon, but by other independent sources, that there were radioisotopes detected some distance away from the WCC towers as well as the Pentagon. So whether they had a EU-tipped missile or small bomb or micronukes, there were radioisotopes involved, as well as the high explosive thermite in the bringing down of those towers. And from my contacts in the NSA, they were operationally ordered by the Jesuits through the Project Omega, which is the final implementation of the project conceived by the Nazis during the Second World War, before the Second World War in the 1930s. Project Omega is a super agency that oversees all intelligence agencies on the planet. Their underground facilities are in Colorado. It was completed under the operational directorship of George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior Bush. And this agency is involved not only with all the deep underground bases, but also our off-world facilities and our off-world fleets of space-based aircraft and other advanced technologies that you can't imagine exist. So the level of evil is beyond imagination. Now I just have to get it to change. There we go. Well, the Patriot Act, does anybody know what Patriot means? Well, what it means is providing advanced technologies to receive and intercept operational terrorism. It has nothing to do with patriotism. This Patriot Act, by the way, I had my special op in Delta because I taught the course February 12th, 2002, to the special op in Delta. We're auditing my course for the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. I was a primary professor teaching the course in bioterrorism in St. Louis in February 12, 2002. And I reviewed all of the history of bioterrorism and the operational dangers of both military operations, detecting, public health, and response. And after, for the next 3 or 4 days, I exchanged stories with all these guys, and their eyes lit up, even though there had been in lots of countries doing lots of bad things, killing people and breaking things. But I freaked them out, but what I do, and they taught me a lot of stuff. And they're my best buddies because they love hearing somebody like me that's out of the box and not afraid. I'm not afraid to die tonight, because if we don't fight this, we're all dead. And we're not just talking about death of our civilization. We're talking about death of our planet. Because what I'm going to show you tonight, we have roughly a year. And that's a pretty hard estimate. We got about a year, year and a half maybe, to turn this thing around, just like the Titanic heading toward the iceberg. If we don't stop this, and there's so many events that are converging, it's over. It's not only over for humanity, it's over for our planet. Because we're involved in something much bigger than the New World Order. And that's why when you hear various patriots talk about one issue or another and they lock onto it alone, I'm going to show you the forest and the trees, so you'll see things tonight that even if you focus on a few issues, you're going to hear things that are going to be very shocking to you tonight. So the large sections of the Patriot Act I actually received from my special op Delta buddies that I taught and worked with back in Colorado. And I received them 2 years before 9/11. interesting, isn't it? Parts of the Patriot Act have been written, and I was told by my friends, were around, sitting around documents at the Pentagon and elsewhere for up to 12 to 15 years before 9/11. So they've been in the works for decades. And again, just repeating that, if you see that statement there, there will be a Pearl Harbor event. And that's serious. When we're talking about a Pearl Harbor event, now the next big thing you need to be really aware of is the avian flu. And I'm going to tell you a story about this. You might hear disinformation saying it's not going to be a problem. Don't believe it. This is the Brainiac virus. This virus is the most intelligent, deadly weapon that has ever been released. There's nothing like it in history. And the reason why, and I'll tell you why it is, and this is a very interesting story. I've had Dr. Henry L. Nyman on my program from Recombinomics for the past 2 years until about 4 months ago. Henry was on about every 2 weeks. He's also on the Jeff Renz show. And I like to do a lot of my own producing. So I spent dozens and hundreds of hours. Sometimes I'm working 20, 22 hours a day trying to collect material and analyze it. Because I know when I look around to see if they're my colleagues, my doctors, I call my quivering, white-coated colleagues who are shivering jellyfish, if they will back me up or if they'll try to corroborate, or scientists. Well, Dr. Nyman is a genius. There's no doubt. He has more patents on gene analysis, on viral sequencing and recombination, and his theories are correct. Recombination is how viruses change. They don't change by mutation. Contrary to Dr. Fauci, the monster Fauci, who was behind the HIV spread and the research, and Dr. Gerberding, who is the head of the Center for Disease Control, who's also involved intimately with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and the World Health Organization on the resurrection and the promulgation of this plague. And the money trail goes right back to the Rothschilds and the Jesuits. Okay? Now, I received the documents when I went to speak against fetal tissue transplantation and cyborg research at Human Life International, a private audience with the International Board, March 16, 1997. And when I spoke to the International Board of their top doctors and scientists at HLI in Zurich, they gave me almost 8 inches of documentation, not only about the avian flu, but about the AIDS virus and about vaccines to create sterile populations in sub-Saharan Africa to get rid of 185 excess sub-Saharan Africans. The AIDS virus was created directly under the control of the World Health Organization and the globalists, and I received those documents. And I personally was recruited in 1974 to take a year off of medical school and do my PhD in virology with the CIA in Uganda to actually work on retroviruses and recombination to actually create the AIDS virus. So I turned it down. But I know firsthand, not secondhand, about this by a further corroboration from my documents I got March 16, 1997. Well, the most disturbing is the avian flu. The avian flu was created with a bioengine using gene fragments of deceased miners in Alaska. They took these fragments and using a bioengine actually recreated the virus from nothing. They succeeded in doing this at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. We know the names of the scientists involved, but the real story comes when you actually go letter by letter. And I'm a details person, if you can probably understand that. But I'm also a spiritual person. But I'm a real details person. I want to know every dot and comma and then which way the comma is twisted. And so I started analyzing the DNA sequences over the last few years and spending many, many hours on the phone off air talking to Dr. Nyman, pulling every article in the world up on avian flu. And what I discovered was very, very disturbing. The lethal genes, if you look at this, the same gene polymorphisms that killed my great-grandmother, my grandmother's brother and sister in the 1918-1919 pandemic, her sister died. And then a week later, because the brother had held his sister at graveside before the coffin was closed, he died. So I have a personal vendetta with this. Because this virus, by the way, you should know the 1918 flu was created through viral pass-through technologies that were being developed under the vice president at the time of Theodore Roosevelt. So we've actually had bioweapons programs in operation for over a century in America. The virus originated in Fort Lupton, Kansas, beside a military base. And if you line up the DNA letters, the DNA letters are a perfect match for the human WSN 33 human strain of virus, which is the oldest strain in American databases, and the Iowa pig flu strain from 1930s. The oldest strains, you can line up the DNA letters and show that the 1918 flu is a human pig hybrid. But what you find is the H5N1, the very first strain analyzed, which is 1971 at the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, that discovered the H, which is the hemagglutinin 5. The H5N1 only had one polybasic amino acid in the cleavage site, which is one basic amino acid. So there's an enzyme inside the cells called an endonuclease, and that enzyme has to come up and actually cleave the H protein for it to enter the cells. But if there's six polybasic amino acids, it can enter the cells of any tissue of any mammal, brain, heart, bone marrow, liver, anyone. So I asked Dr. Nyman, I said, how likely is it that from 1971 to now that there will be an increase from one polybasic amino acid to six, but it's never been seen in any other virus in history? It wouldn't occur in 100 billion years. It's not going to happen. It's like winning 1,000 lotteries. It's not going to happen. Not only that, the same gene sequences, which are the lethal polymorphisms in the 1918 flu, are also present the same letters. It's like winning with the same lottery numbers. Has anybody watched the show Lost? Right. Well, Lost, you keep on seeing these numbers appear over and over again. And that's actually a psychotrauma, even. Okay? Because they like doing what's called hyperspace archetypes. And I'll talk about that later. And those numbers are very significant. The DNA numbers, if those polymorphisms in 1918 are showing up, the same DNA letter changes that cause it to be lethal in the H5N1 in Asia, in an avian flu on a different continent 87 years later. How likely is that, people? It's not going to happen. Not only that, there's a basic amino acid deletion of four amino acids in the NS1 gene, which is one of the eight genes, that makes it completely bypass the immune system of all mammals, so there's no interleukin 4, which is a primary warning system to activate your lymphocytes to fight any virus or bacteria. So you get a massive cytokine storm, and it particularly kills young and healthy with a strong immune system, very much like the hemorrhagic flu of 1918. This is like Ebola on roids, okay? The lethality varies between 25 and 100%. Average lethality is 72% compared to 2.5% globally in 1918 during the steamship era. With jet engines, you can fly from here to Tokyo in a day. As a result, calculations done by Dr. Weber at the St. Jude Research Center in America and Russian scientists and scientists that are affiliated with the CDC and elsewhere have calculated out that if this becomes pandemic human, which is, only requires two gene changes in position 224 and 226, or 228, just two changes in the receptor binding domain, it's only five amino acids on the H gene, this will kill 2 billion people and infect 3/4 of the population of Earth and kill 2 billion minimum. This will trash society. But more importantly, if someone thinks that they have an antidote, it will force everyone to be quarantined, to be chipped, to be tracked, and everyone will be put into civil detention facilities. This is a much better solution if you want to create a global matrix than a nuclear war or anything else. This virus has moved progressively to recombine in places like the Middle East to H9N2, where it can swap the genes. And H9N2, which is endemic to Israel, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Turkey, and areas of the whole Middle East down to Yemen, has all five genes. So a simple recombination in one host, either a bird, a pig, or a human, can create a pandemic strain. We have clusters of people who have these pre-pandemic strains. What Henry has done has proved that it can happen spontaneously. So even without a release of, in the words of Alex Jones, the Zichronian 12 plague, this change is going to be devastating. And it will come. We are seeing the evolution of it. If they do not release a laboratory-based strain, it is a matter of months or several years maximum before we have a global pandemic of avian flu that will make literally the number dead will equal all the wars and all the pandemics in human history. That's serious. This is far more devastating to the human population than a nuclear war. People need to understand, if someone does think they have an antidote to it, they're going to be very selective. Now, I'm going to tell you some things tonight that will probably kill, and I can't say for certain, but probably will kill us. The government has all kinds of things like scalar weapons against viruses, all kinds of things that they think will help. None of the vaccines they're making are of any use whatsoever because the virus is genetically distinct into 12 sub-strains, six of them very lethal, between 25 and 100% lethal. Once they become efficient at transferring between humans and the virus survives long enough in the incubation period, doing any kind of screening at airports or otherwise is useless because a person can be a carrier for 3 to 5 days before they get sick and then suddenly develop a cytokine storm and drop dead or just have a heart attack. The virus also can grow in your brain, so you may not even cough once and just drop over dead with virus growing in your brain. So it may not present. You may just literally sit there and then start bleeding from your eyes and all orifices and drop dead instantly. That's what kind of virus this is. It's right out of a B-movie, and I'm saying it to people because I've been screaming for several years that we need to have proper public health measures to have HEPA filters in all aircraft and a chain of custody to transfer all materials to test every aircraft coming in the United States and elsewhere in Canada. We need to have proper evaluations of people coming into this country, whether it's resistant tuberculosis, leprosy, or other infectious diseases. And we need to stop this damn spraying of chemtrails that includes nanoorganisms that are silicon-based life forms that do not originate on this planet, as well as mycobacteria, Pseudomonas fluorensis, and other organisms that are destroying the health and the immune systems of people. And they're doing it on purpose, part of their population control. So the reason why I'm speaking about these things is we're at the end of this age, and the masters of chaos have completely gone over the edge. So we only need two changes in the genes in order to cause this to happen. And it's literally the killer bees of all viruses, the brainiac, if you want to call it. And I like Alex Jones' term, so I'm going to steal it. He called it the Zykonian 12 plague because he's a skeptic. He thinks it's nothing. It's all a bunch of hype. It's not. This is not hype. When this thing gets out, it's going to make all the plagues of history look like nothing. And I can't tell you when it'll happen, but it's coming. The next thing is the MARC, which I call the Multiply Addressable Readable Cryptographic. That's what I call MARC, of the driver's ID. And the driver's ID, I'm going to show you in one of my other talks. It's called the Technologies of the Electronic Cage, not Age. The National Animal Identification System, if everybody is familiar with, is a new system called the Active Live Chip System. And it actually can track an animal down to 1 cubic meter using satellite-based technology in low Earth orbit satellites, the LEO system, as well as other systems, including will be integrated to the smart highways, which they want to build off the I-35 Trans-Texas Kennemex Highway Corridor to all the other freeways that are going to be eventually all tolled in the North American Zone 3 World New World Order 10-zone world. January 1, 2008 to May 2008, full implementation of the national ID will require that you will not buy or sell, have a job, cash a check, cross a state line, or get on a bus, ship, plane, or train in America or in North America, because they're going to dissolve the U.S. Constitution. They're planning on putting the Mero, which they've already called for designs. They had a stock trader last week, literally announced people should be positioning themselves to get out of the American dollar and get into the Mero, which is the new American currency that's coming. All of these things are real. They're not imaginary, and they are doing this because they are fast-tracking, and I'll tell you why as they integrate these talks. Because I'm going to connect the dots, so at the end of this talk, you'll understand why pieces that you couldn't explain before will make sense after tonight. And I'll talk a little fast, so you'll need to get the DVD. January 17th to 23rd, 2007, no Canadians will be able to cross into the United States this coming January without a passport. And all passports in the past number of years have had a passive RFID chip in them, which means that up to 120 centimeters, they can scan your passport and tell who you are. But they're planning on switching those eventually to an active passport that can track you down to 1 cubic meter, and you'll have to carry your papers, please, or you'll immediately be detained and quarantined. And it'll require biometric identifiers, laser retinal scans, iris scans, and other things that are required, including a DNA analysis that can be done at a chip developed at the Oak Ridge National Labs and Argonne National Labs in Chicago. They can do 100,000 DNA cleavage analyses with a microchip that was developed there in less than 5 minutes with a laptop-based microchip analysis system. So they had this all set up to DNA track and chip every single person on the planet, and it's all coming together right now. What will they pan us with? And when we talk about panning, if you've seen cattle panned or sheep, they're going to try to use a whole lot of issues. And some of these you'll be familiar with, but when I lay it all out, you're going to see just how serious this matter is. So if your friends are asleep, I call it a sheep bowl, they're going to find out the hard way that this is not a joke. And even if they've heard many people talking about these in the past, some great speakers here at the Granada Forum and listening to RBN or GCN, what I'm going to show you tonight is a vast panorama of dark, majestic, evil majesty. National debt and real estate bubble. It's blooming. It's about to pop. And I've heard, and I don't live in California, but I've heard from my friends that in many areas here, the real estate has dropped by 30% or so. Is that true? Yeah. They're talking, and I talked to some of my friends because I try to research these things carefully. They're actually trying to get rid of the penny, nickel, dime, and quarter, and they want to make a $2 and a $5 and a dollar coin. Have you heard that? That's actually planned as well. They want to get rid of all of these smaller denominations because your dollar will be the new penny. I'm not kidding. Avian flu. I really believe the window, looking at the rate of this virus changing, mutating, and transferring, the window of 2007 to 2008, I think, is a very dangerous period. And isn't that amazingly coincidental that the president, April 1st, being, of course, we have our chief fool and leader in power, April 1st, 2005, he actually passed an executive order saying that everybody must bow to the president and roll up their sleeve and take a shot that may fry your brain cells, give you cancer, or be completely useless and wipe out your immune system if a real pathogen comes by. Regional nuclear conflict with Iran, and all of this is being pushed by Israel, has given us a timetable that in the next 5 months, if we do not attack Iran with nuclear weapons, they will. Our 102nd Air Division is now guarding the Dimona reactor site and the Israeli nuclear weapons right now, so it's our armed forces restraining the Israelis from attacking Iran with nuclear missiles today. You haven't heard this on the news, but you heard it tonight. The 102nd is down there guarding the Israeli nuclear weapons firing facilities so they will not start World War III today. Okay? This is how close we are. We are 1 second to midnight. Not 10 seconds, not 10 hours. We are 1 second to midnight. If they attack Iran, here's the scenario. Russia's given the most advanced anti-aircraft system that they've ever developed, which is very deadly, to Syria and Iran. And most of the Islamic countries follow an ancient dictum that precedes Islam by probably 5,000 to 6,000, perhaps maybe 11,000 or 12,000 years. But it's me and my brother against my cousin, me and my cousin against my enemy. And once you get your stick into that bee's nest, you are going to have a real time. And these people, I happen to have friends in the IDF and advanced services all around the world, and I've seen satellite photos of the launching facilities in central Saudi Arabia, and they have two facilities manned for the last 23 years by the communist Chinese. They have missiles from central Saudi Arabia that can hit all parts from London, England, to Tokyo, to all parts in Russia and Asia and India from central Saudi Arabia in two bases, one 100 miles north of Riyadh, and the Salai Oasis is one 500 miles north. And they can fire an advanced weapon system with multiple warheads every 30 seconds. All advanced silkworm-based missiles. March the 15th, 1995, I sat across the table with Colonel Lynn Wills, Chief Missile Command Officer, Strategic Defense Command, who's the commander of NORAD radar installation that notifies the president there's incoming. And he said, over cutting a roast and sharing dinner in Colorado Springs at that time, whose son was the best friend of my son, that the previous week they went to DEF CON 4, and they were about to activate HUE, which is the supercomputer that starts the launch-on command sequence for our submarine-based long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles and our ground-based missile systems, as well as our HARP-based technologies that can knock out all missile systems coming in that are not hardened with the ferromagnetic chips developed at Atmel Corporation in Colorado Springs that are EMP-hardened, so they won't be knocked out of the sky. So any air-jet aircraft airplanes or anything flying that doesn't have hardened chips or advanced tube technologies, which is why the Russians still use tubes, they will fall out of the sky. So thousands of aircraft, the moment they declare World War III, will fall out of the sky and all the people will die. That's based on HAARP. So if you haven't heard that before, you heard it tonight. That's how close we are to that issue. Real hyperinflation. So that's coming. National health care. Now, most people say, we've suffered so long. Canadians have got national health care. The British have got national health service. We've got to have national health care. And Hillary Rotten Clinton tried to bring national health care in with the electronic medical record, the EMR. The EMR is an electronic choker chain on your doctor that if they don't do what their Nazi Dr. Mengele commanders tell them, they'll yank their license. They'll yank their chain. They'll prosecute them and they'll imprison them. So a large and very powerful leg of the New World Disorder is your doctor. Because most of the really bad things they want to do to you, including implantation of chips, vaccines that are psychotronic that will rewire your brain, vaccines that will insert DNA to alter your genetics, vaccines that will cause cancer, vaccines that will program so that you will actually be sensitized, I call brain tenderized, to ELF technology that can transfer thoughts and insert them into your mind and your body and control your very physiology using scalar technologies. All of these have been developed, and your doctor will administer them. Just like the big pharma drugs that are administered that are slowly killing our elderly population and turning them into demented fools. Okay? If you think that politics is corrupt, medicine is 1,000 times more corrupt. 1,000, because the victims are either dead, dying, or wish they were. They're going to track all transactions by May of 2008. And even if you have silver or gold coins or you want to barter, it's actually against the Patriot Act. If you read all the act, which I have, and the various little pieces, because they couldn't put it all in one, Patriot Act 2, they put it in little sections and stuck it on other amendments and other bills, that is against the law after the full implementation of the National Driver's ID to actually do any transaction without your national identification shown. So if you actually barter, or if you give a gold coin for gasoline or bread, it's a violation of the National Security Act, and you're by definition a terrorist, and by definition you receive a minimum sentence of a year, which is the requirement to have a rendition to one of 80 civil detention facilities built by Bechtel Corporation in Halliburton for your pleasure and enjoyment for the rest of your days, how short they may be, including that if you have done any violation of state or federal law after that date, or under this law, in terms of transactions, you can be executed without any habeas corpus. That's already passed. This is not passed. No civilization in history, not the Assyrians, not the ancient Sumerians, not the Babylonians, not the Atlanteans or Lemurians, not any civilization on this planet has ever actually openly said in advance what they're going to do to destroy their civilian population. But this one has. The hate crimes bill, I've had Reverend Ted Pike on the show. The ADL have been scraped up from the bowels of hell. And the Anti-Defamation League are not looking out for Jewish people. Now, my grandson, if somebody wants to say anything against Jews or against any nationality, I want to say to them, if your political viewpoints or your religion thinks that any group should be destroyed, put down, whatever, you need to get rid of whatever is the basis of that thought pattern, because that's why our planet is about to die. In fact, the elixir of death for our planet has been religion. It's religion, extremism, not based on spirituality. And it has been on sectarian hate that's been fed by this, by the masters of chaos that have kept us dumbed down and unaware of the identity of what we are and what the nature of reality is, which these scientists have known, many of them, and their secret organizations for umpteen thousands of years, held in libraries like the Vatican Library, where Nikola Tesla's father obtained most of the advanced information on scalar and secret geometry that Nikola used for the development of all our advanced technologies, including hydroelectric generation, electric motors, AC power, and everything else. Now, people must understand that the real issue here has got to be what is real and not what is imaginary. And hate crimes bill makes it so that you are guilty if you, quote, harm someone's feelings, which is subjective. And so you can be prosecuted. It's exactly what they talked about in Minority Report. Pre-crime, thought crime, crime that's based on a sensation or a possible violation of thought. Depleted uranium. And I had Loren Murray in my program. I'm writing a book with Loren and Dr. Asaf Jurakovich called DNA Landmines, Not So, Depleted Uranium. Depleted uranium is not depleted at all. It's only one isotope. And it fits in the periodic table of elements in the exact position of chromium. So it interferes with the primary enzyme that maintains the transmembrane potential of all the cells of your body. Depleted uranium is the greatest plague on all living things on the planet in history. What it is doing is destroying the genetics that will last for over 40 billion, with a B, years. Okay, we're talking about 40 billion years in order for the amount of depleted uranium that George Bush and his junta, Fourth Reich, Nazi maniacs have actually put on not only the people of the Middle East, but the entire planet. And after the 2003 tremendous bombing, the shock and awe, which is actually the name of an ancient Babylonian war goddess, if you want to know Shakana, who they were actually doing a war sacrifice to. It's a hyperdimensional entity that's real, it's not imaginary. They created a cloud of depleted uranium that hung over North America by July for almost 5.5 weeks. And no one was told that when that rain was coming down, you in California and in Texas and all across America, North America, were being rained on by a huge cloud of depleted uranium. With no public health warning and nothing told to you while the government and NASA knew about it. And they could see it from space from their shuttle. The World Trade Organization. We've had Dr. Rima Loboa and Major General Bert Stubblebine III on the program regularly. And this is the Nazi food rolls. In fact, one of the people who was actually kept in there, Dr. Vermeer, in prison in the 1960s, conceived the food rules or the Codex Alimentarius. And it was such a good rule by a former Nazi that the WTO decided in the mid-90s to adopt it. What a wonderful thing to do. They will reinstitute, now with treaties signed by the United States and Russia last month alone, all countries in the world are now visibly signing bilateral treaties. We signed one with Russia to accept the code X Elementarius, and the X is on us. 7 of 9 banned pesticides that were banned by 179 countries that in some of these pesticides are so lethal, if you give them to children under 5, they'll be dead within 4 hours. And if they're people under age 18, they'll be dead in less than 2 weeks, roughly 90 to 95% lethality. These pesticides are so lethal that no rational country, even the big farmer countries, would let them be sprayed on their crops, but they're going to be reintroduced. Including genetically modified frankenfoods that have as many as 6 different genes plus from 6 different phyla and genera of organisms, all the way from slime mold, jellyfish, humans, sharks, and bacteria. They create new organic acids and amino acids that were never before seen on this planet. They create a form of eco-pollution that is so deadly that they create a pollution that literally will never be extinguished. They plan and are building 200 irradiators at transfer points and all through the nation of the United States that are almost completed so that all foods across U.S. borders into the country you're out of will receive an equivalent dosage of 100,000 times the dosage that will be lethal to all known living organisms. So all your food, and by the way, when you irradiate steak, what it releases is benzene, so your steak will smell like you just went to the gas station. Okay? And they can leave feces on the fruit and vegetables and other things because when it crosses state borders, just like UPS now irradiates most of your mail, all of the things that come across the border, packaged or unpackaged or so-called fresh in the truck, will be irradiated. All the research, by the way, was started by the crazy maniacs in Israel who were doing this research back 30 years ago. They want to release nanotech foods. In fact, they have nanotech dyes so they can have nanotech fats. An interesting thing about these nanotech dyes and fats is that they don't have the normal respectability that your normal biological processes will stop them from crossing the blood-brain barrier to your heart, your brain, your liver. They cross wherever the hell they damn well want to go. So So when you take these things, they will fry whatever is in their pathway, just like a flamethrower. And they know it, and they're going to approve it. You can have ice cream with less than one-half calorie, but you're going to have Alzheimer's next year. Mineral depletion. They are pushing the soil so hard in every civilization in history. If you look at your study of history, every civilization on this planet and in any other planet has always died when their soil dies. And the reason why in ancient Israel, the laws, the spiritual laws, where the land had to be given the Sabbath rest is for the fixing bacteria to fix the micronutrients and minerals. All the oldest living peoples on the planet drank glacial milk off glaciers where the lichens were able to fix the minerals into the soil, including transuranic minerals like rubidium, europium, and indium. Indium is a chaperone mineral, 47 on the periodic table, that brings all the other minerals into your body. And if you don't have these trace elements, you cannot live. There are certain enzyme pathways and certain genes that never get turned on. They're silenced unless those minerals are present. 95% of American population are magnesium depleted. 97% are selenium depleted. And if you increase the selenium intake in the diet, 220 micrograms, half of all cancers would disappear. But most of the forms of selenium given to the population now are toxic chemicals that are not going to be absorbed by your body. They don't tell you that. And Big Pharma and Big Chem and Big Agra are now wanting to have what are called the seeds of famine. So they're going to create literally seeds that the third or fourth crop you will not reproduce. And they're going to try to ban it in all these countries like India. When I talked to Rima, she was down there at the end of the summer with Major Stubblebine, and they convinced the Prime Minister of India that the World Trade Organization would mean the death of their normal farmers because it's a heritage, they had heritage seeds and crops. If these heritage crops die, the food crops of our world will die. And the predictions by their scientific panel is that the acceptance of the World Trade Organization will result in 5 years of the death by starvation and malnutrition of 1 billion, and the death by disease, such as diabetes, cancer, and heart disease, of 2 billion in 5 years. Hey, between the avian flu and the WTO, that's 7 billion gone. Yeah. They want to reduce the population, if you go to the Georgia Guidestones, down to 500 million. This is not a joke. I spoke to Dr. Isley, who owns the vitamin cottages and so on in Colorado, and is well known. He's a PhD physicist and was the founder of the Federation of Earth organization there. And many organizations and non-government organizations have signed the Federation of Earth documents. Some of their ideas are good. They want to reestablish the phytoplankton in the oceans, but some of them are pretty wacky. The biggest problem is that they don't connect all the dots. And if you don't connect all the dots, it's like putting together a puzzle and say, oh my gosh, the other part of the puzzle will fall off, but it fell in the fire and now it's on fire. So you have to connect all the dots. This next one is back
to Joseph.
It's taking a shot. Or get
hello,
shot.
Hello, Brother Joseph.
This is the director of FEMA at the conference in Denver. And the director of FEMA.
Call me, brother. Yeah. Listen, I'm enjoying this, but a couple of things we got to acknowledge here. Well, number one is we got 10 minutes left.
Okay.
And so we're going to have to pick this up next week, man. I mean, I'm just, you know what? Now I understand why we have the House bill. Because this brother is just simply describing that House bill. You know, the one that was read in Congress? I did a show on it. I just can't think of the number right now. But you know what I'm talking about, right? The House bill. The one that, hold on, man. I'll get it right here for you. Hold on 1 second. It's House bill number, what was that number? Anyway, I think we're going to have to listen to this next week because how much, let me ask you, how much of the tape you got left?
Oh, it's a whole lot. It's a four-part series.
Yeah, what we're going to have to do, man, is just do a part at a time, and maybe next time we'll get a little earlier start. It is a lot of doom and gloom. Somebody said in the chat room even, basically a hopeless type of comment, and I just don't want people to think there is no hope. There has always been hope. if the Most High is going to judge the wicked, why would he judge the righteous with the wicked? All throughout history, when the wicked gets judged, there is always a safe haven for the righteous. It's just that the righteous got to listen and follow their shepherd. That's all there is to it. So if you don't mind, please let me play the rest of that later. But I think we have to wrap this up because I have got to end this show at 11 o'clock for various reasons I told you earlier about. But I mean, he was, it sounds pretty sad. And, you know, I must say this, even though I know he's a doctor and I know he's on point, I got to say this, it's almost as if he enjoyed telling us bad news. I mean, there was no mercy, which maybe don't supposed to be. But I just think there's always a way out. If we just, you know, my wife always bring this up, Brother Joseph. You know what I'm about to say before I even say it. She always say, where's the hope at? You know, people got to live. They people don't enjoy knowing that tomorrow everybody's going to be dead. Like I tell my wife, if you follow the heed of the Most High, his warnings, his prophets, just like you, Brother Joseph, I feel like you are one of those whistleblowers. We might not like it, but we hear, but we got to do something. We got to take this information, research it, make sure this person ain't smoking on something. He did get his timeline wrong because that was in, this tape was in 96. And he was talking about in a couple of years. Well, it didn't happen in a couple of years. But on Capitol Hill, we actually played a clip from a congressional hearing.
Right.
These are congressmen reading about something that is going to happen very soon. Well, they didn't say when, but they wanted a budget. They wouldn't announce how much the budget was. They didn't announce where this thing was coming from, but it was definitely a disease by the verbiage. And if anybody want to listen, check out what we talked about and hear that video, I'm going to tell you right now how you can get the video, and you will be able to listen to this show. The name of the show is, it's one of our shows. It says Urgent Congressional Hearing Admitting U.S. Invasion. So it's an invasion of an epidemic is what it is. But, you know, so check that out. But listen, this guy we just listened to, Brother Joseph, I like him. I think he's on. I think he's right. But I think his timeline was wrong. It didn't happen like he said in 2 years.
You know why his timeline is wrong? You know why his timeline is wrong? Because don't nobody know now. This goes to the Most High has a hindrance on these people. And it just giving us more time to get our act together. Because when the Most High take his hindrance off these people, we supposed to be in the know and what we supposed to do. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter 12, it tells us that's where our help going to come in at. Revelation chapter 12, where we going into wilderness. Why the 144,000 going to be deemed out first. You see what I'm saying? The 144,000 is going to be risen first. Then those who are on earth going to be led into the wilderness. If you look at Revelation chapter 12, so we ought to be grateful that every time we're looking for this thing to happen when we think it's going to happen and it don't happen, that is a wonderful thing. Give thanks to the Most High.
You know what, man? That's one thing I like about you, man. They never see you coming. They never see you coming. And I think you're right. I think you just may be right. Maybe they had the timeline right. And, you know, the righteous is always praying for mercy anyway. So maybe so, Brother Joseph. I'm not going to lie. I'm still weeding through all of these different, what can I say, I'm just trying to find my way through all this truth. But I do believe something for sure is on the horizon. I do believe that. And I'm not a doom and gloom type of person, you know, because some of these people just like giving doom and gloom. I do believe there is some people that's on that. But I have to admit this brother is, this gentleman is, he impressed me. I didn't think I would. But he, hold on. I don't know how they got the plan. Sorry about that. But, are you there, Brother Joseph?
I'm still here.
Yeah, we got like 4 minutes. So, listen, I want to go ahead and wrap this show up. But, folks, please stay tuned. We're going to probably try to finish this up on Saturday. I think Saturday I want to take Saturday's show and take this to another level, meaning let's go ahead and listen to all four parts. How long do you think all four parts is?
Oh, well, see, this was the Grenada Forum. So it was like a 8-hour talk. This was something that the people asked for.
Oh, now real quick, because we got 3 minutes, and I want to do this because it's going to, real quick. Where can they get more information on this?
They can go to, Google Bill Deagle, Dr. Deagle. They should get it.
And then type in what? Because Google going to list about 25 or 55 different, so what should they type in other than his name? Quick.
Project Camelot. That's Camelot, Camelot.
Okay. Listen, man, I got to go ahead and wrap this up. Everybody, I just want to thank y'all for stopping by, listening to this. I know it's doom and gloom. Saturday, we're going to try to bring a solution. Brother Joseph, again, thank you for stopping by, and I'll talk to you later, my brother, okay?
All right. Peace.
All right, peace. That's Brother Joseph. He always brings something to the table, and I appreciate that. He is a prophet, whether you want to admit it or not. And that was some good information, folks. That was some good stuff. And I'm going to try to play all four parts, really. But listen, thank you all for stopping by. And just know we're not hopeless. We're not hopeless. There is hope at the end of all of this doom and gloom. So just don't be discouraged. Keep your heads to the sky, as Earth, Wind, and Fire says. Talk to y'all later. everybody, I want to thank y'all for stopping by Five Smooth Stones tonight. I know we said that we would talk about a solution. I just want to say this much, that no father would put children that he loves and care about in harm's way. Nobody, no father. We know that if America is going to be judged, and she will be judged, a lot of the things the brothers shared tonight, the audio clips, is definitely going to happen. We know that the Most High is behind a lot of this, so why in the world would he bring all this against his own people? So we believe, and the scriptures defend this belief, that the righteous will always, always be taken care of. The righteous will always be protected. The only thing I will say to the righteous is this. When I say righteous, I'm not talking about a bunch of perfect people. I'm talking about people that simply believe in the Most High and trust him for their salvation. End of story. This I have to say to you. You will, in order to survive what is going to come, you will need to follow your shepherd. It might mean doing some things you've never done before. It might mean leaving the United States for some people. I don't believe it's for everybody. But I do know this, that these things have to happen. If we're not in the right position, we will suffer along with the wicked. So heeding the voice of the prophets tonight could mean watching your investments. It could mean buying a bunch of things to be able to live within your house for 6 months. It could mean stocking up on this, that, and the other. It could mean definitely owning a firearm for sure for starts. It could mean a lot of things. So you have to seek the Most High and get guidance. And this is one of those times I would say fast and pray. Because, folks, this is serious. I wouldn't have this show. We wouldn't talk about the things tonight if this wasn't serious. This is so, so, so serious. And so, so, so real. This is not a joke. This is not a bunch of people want to sit around and just scare you. These things, did you hear the type of sources that the person was quoting earlier, Dr. Deagle? And let's not forget that House Bill 8791, House Bill 8791, that's House Resolution 8791, is no joke. Just go to YouTube or anywhere on the Internet and just pull up that bill, and you'll see congressmen talking about it, reading it, and when they read it, it's going to scare you. When they read this bill, it's going to scare you. You've never seen nothing like this in your entire life. Every time they start talking about what is going to happen, they bleep it. They say classify it. And they start trying to describe what's going to happen to the people, and they say classify it. When they start talking about how much this is going to cost to fund this whole thing, they say classify it. When they start talking about where this epidemic is coming from, they say classify it. What in the world are they talking about? And then when you put two and two together after listening to Dr. Deagle, Bill Deagle tonight, it makes you really wonder. So you got to go to your creator and your shepherd and your leader and your Most High and say, inquire, what is it to do for you and your family? And don't sweat it. Don't be nervous. Don't fear. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. You'll be fine. We all will be. We just trust the Most High. That trust is going to drive us to do some things outside of just saying we trust the Most High. Good night. Love every single one of you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Shalom.